This is the In Focus podcast from The Hindu.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the In Focus podcast. I'm your host, G. Sampath. The Lok Sabha polls 2024 will be held from April 19 in 7 phases across the country. In Bihar, West Bengal and Uttar Pradesh, voting will take place in all the 7 phases. Assembly elections will also be held simultaneously in Andhra Pradesh, Odisha, Sikkim and Arunachal Pradesh. The last phase of voting will be on June 1st and counting will take place on June 4th. This parliamentary election, interestingly, is the second longest polling exercise in India's electoral history, or it will be the second longest once it happens. The longest one was the country's first general election, which was held over a 5-month period from September 1951 to February 1952. But the 2004 Lok Sabha polls, for instance, were held in only 4 phases between April 20 and May 10. They were over in 20 days. And if you look at the 1998 elections for the Lok Sabha, they took place in 3 phases on February 16th, 22nd and 28th, and they were over in just 2 weeks. So what has changed in India between 1998 or 2004 and 2024? A matter of like 25 years that we have become so much slower, taking many times longer to do the same thing, which is conduct the election for the same number of Lok Sabha seats. Why does India need 7 phases to hold general elections? How do other big democracies like Indonesia, for instance, manage it in one day? And what are the pros and cons of having a multi-phase election? We discuss the reasons for and implications of a lengthy poll schedule in this episode of In Focus. And we have with us Mr. M.G. Devasahayam, a former IAS officer, who is also coordinator of the Citizens Commission on Elections. Mr. Devasahayam, thank you so much for joining us and welcome to InFocus.
Thank you very much.
So, we know, for instance, that India's first general elections, as I already said, in 1951-52 took place over 5 months. It was the first ever election, so we understand there were a lot of issues to be sorted. The time was needed. But the 1998 Lok Sabha elections took 3 phases and 2 weeks. But this time we have the second longest general election ever, you know, after the first one. So now we also have EVMs, you know, which is the electronic voting machine, which should make counting, etc., much quicker. So why are we slower in finishing our elections today than we were 25 years ago?
There's a big dichotomy here. You mentioned about it's taking more than 2 months, and you also talked about counting. Very strange. They take more than 2 months to conduct the elections, but they want to complete the counting in a matter of a couple of hours. That is where the major problem is arising about the integrity of the elections. The electronic voting machines, as you rightly said, was introduced in 1998-99. And it was introduced in full scale later, 2014, 2019. Now, of course, we got 2019 onwards, we got another device called VVPAT. So all these, what they want to do is the electoral counting is the most critical of all the electoral operations, having conducted elections myself several decades ago. But they want to do this electoral process for 2 months, more than 2 months, and they want to, and they even filed an affidavit in the Supreme Court. They just want to finish off the counting in a matter of a couple of hours and finish it up.
By they, you mean the Election Commission?
Election Commission. Okay. Election Commission has been telling lies in the Supreme Court that it will take 4 days, 5 days. They don't want to even delay. Now, that is what is casting doubt. Now, this inordinate delay.
But sir, you said that they want to complete the counting in a couple of hours, but counting is, they've taken like 3 days more. Like, the voting ends on June
1st. I'm coming to that.
Okay, sorry.
They are taking as many days as they want before counting. But when the counting starts, they want to finish it off in a jiffy. That is where the serious doubt over the integrity of the electoral process is starting. Because as Stalin, Joseph Stalin once said, it is not what is being counted, who is counting the votes. So the serious doubts are being raised. It's a very serious matter, and the Election Commission is not. Now, for instance, you have seen the electoral schedule. And they have taken their own relaxed way. They have taken any number of days. And as you rightly said, they finish off the last phase in June 1st. And 3 days, these 3 days is for a very peculiar reason. Under the paper ballot, there used to be booth capturing and ballot stuffing. So they used to give a gap of 1 day to find out which all the booths, ballot stuffing and booth capturing has taken place. So if the matter is serious, they order a repoll, third day. So they take 2 clear days, 1 day to find out where all this, investigate where all this ballot stuffing and ballot box booth capturing has taken place, and another day to conduct reports. So that's why they've taken 3 days between the last day and the counting. That is paper ballot. Now they say, under EVM, there's no such thing will ever happen. But still, they want to drag on as much as possible till the counting day, giving maximum. This is one major, very important thing that people have not noticed. Second is, as you rightly said, campaigning. Now, this distinctly gives advantage campaigning to the ruling party, particularly in the present case to the Prime Minister, because the way the ruling party campaign is structured, it's almost 99% centered around. He is the VIP campaigner, star campaigner, all put together. So he has to move around, and this schedule has been prepared in such a manner that he can move around and he can also reach as many people as possible, because the opposition doesn't need this kind of time because they have got multiple people, multiple parties. So that is one of the objectives. My serious doubt is the schedule is not being prepared by the Election Commission. It is prepared by the PMO and given to the Election Commission. That is where,
but
I
sir,
think
that will be that's like that will be speculative. No, I mean, opposition can also make use of this extended campaign days and weeks, just as the ruling party.
They don't need that much. You see, they don't have the kind of tools. The entire media is with the Prime Minister, the ruling party, the mainstream media at least. They will broadcast every speech of his, wherever he may speak, even if it's Guwahati or in Patna or in Trivandrum. Live telecast takes place. This doesn't take place for the opposition party. See, you have the media with you. So you reach out. Now, there's really something very important. This matter has not been, there has been oversight on this. This schedule gives 12 premium days. You asked one question, that what happens about, this implementation of model code of conduct. This schedule gives 12 premium days to the Prime Minister for broadcasting to the nation. So,
how do you arrive at this figure of 12, sir? 12?
I'm explaining to you. See, there are 2 days where campaigning is banned. Okay. 24 hours, 48 hours before the close of poll, all campaigning stops. Okay, so 2 days, I will say. So now, model code of conduct has already come into effect. So campaigning will take place only, can't take place on these 12 days. Whereas the media is continued to operate. What happens, this happened in the last election also. So these 2 days when polling is the prohibited days, somewhere else it is not prohibited. So Prime Minister is campaigning somewhere else, and as the people are going to vote in some other constituency, live they are seeing Prime Minister on the screen. The previous day, on the voting day itself. This happened frequently in 2019 election. So the schedule you must look at in combination. This schedule should not be looked up in isolation. It should be looked up in combination with the media power they have. The media power that we have in today is completely, completely lopsided. So take that 12 premium days when there is silent day and the voting day. And on the board days, Prime Minister will be campaigning somewhere else where this prohibition is not there, but will be broadcast live to the people who are observing the silent day as well as the voting day. This is a very big distortion that is taking.
Let me clarify this. Yes. So this model code of conduct, it is imposed only locally, not nationally when the voting is happening?
No. That's why the model code of conduct is for all. See, particularly for those who are going to poll on June 1st, the model code of conduct is nearly for about, 2.5 months.
Right. No. This silent day and voting day, when no campaigning is allowed, that is enforced only locally, is it?
See, now for instance, let's take UP, Allahabad and Lucknow. Okay. Lucknow is a silent day and a voting day. Allahabad, it is not, because it is in a different phase. So, Prime Minister will be campaigning in Allahabad, or even in Patna, or any other place, maybe in even Calcutta, and it is broadcast live. So those who are living in Lucknow, they're seeing the Prime Minister campaigning on that silent day and also on the voters' day. That's what I'm trying to
So
say.
you're saying the
Opposition
media,
does not.
the access to media, the media power of a
Yes.
particular party neutralizes or counters the silent day logic itself.
Absolutely. So this schedule must be looked at in tandem with the media power.
Right. So you're basically saying because of this, I mean, six plus one phases of elections and the 2 days attached to each phase of election, which are silent and voting days. So those 2 days where no campaigning is allowed, those two multiplied by six, those 12 premium days is what you're saying is being delivered as a benefit to a particular party.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Okay. So in that case, sir, what exactly are the legitimate factors, would you say, that an election commission should typically be taking into account when mapping out the poll schedule? Even if you leave out this particular factor, this 12 premium days you talked about, there might be genuine reasons why a poll might need more than one phase, you know. So what are those legitimate concerns?
The concerns are, you see, it can't be disputed what the Chief Election Commissioner said that day, that India is a subcontinent. It's not just an ordinary country. And we have about 1 billion voters, 97 crores to be almost precise. So it does require massive amount of logistics. There are several factors which comes in when we are planning this electoral the schedule. One is, number one is the climate. The country has got extreme climates. Number two, extreme rainfall or snowfall, heat, whatever it is. Number two, the examinations for the school and college children. Then number three, the mobility of the staff, the what the staff which is on voting duty. Then the mobility of the security forces. There are several factors. All these have to be factored in, and then only schedule has to be fixed. There's no doubt about it. But the question is, as you rightly said, when you have 1998, you did it in such a short time. Even 1980, it was done in 4 days' time. Even last 2019 election was done in 35 days' time. 2014 election also was done in 36 days' time. Now it is taking 45 days' time, which is a bit unusual. This distinctly gives advantage to a particular group of people or a particular individual, who is the star campaigner and with the media power reach out to everybody, which is thereby seriously damaging the level playing field. That's what my reading is. And particularly, you asked a question, the gap between stage two and stage three, the 10 days gap, it is inexplicable, because I checked whether there is any festivals. There are no festivals. Only the routine festivals are there, the monthly
Right,
festivals,
I mean
the Ganga festivals.
the gap between other phases, first and second and fourth and fifth, third and fourth, they are approximately 1 week gap. But between the second and the third phase of the polling, there is like almost, I think, more than 10 days, right? I mean.
I looked at it. Phase two is April 26th, and May 7th is the third phase. There are 94 constituencies, and the constituents that is going for election that day are absolute strongholds of the NDA. Out of the 94 constituencies in 2019, they have won 84, and the India combination won only 8. So probably the ruling party want to consolidate this and make it 100%. And you may also look at the next one, May 13, because this advantage goes to the next phase four also. That also is 96 constituencies. Both put together 190 constituencies, and both these are stronghold of the NDA. Probably they want to consolidate. And you must compare it with phase one, 102. That is not stronghold of the ruling party. It is almost equal. So they don't want to waste much time in an area where the battle is equal, because they know it will continue to be so. So there is something fishy about this schedule also, and the gap between one stage to another stage. Yeah, it does give suspicion, which the Chief Election Commissioner could not explain.
Right. Also, coming to the last date of voting and the gap between that and the counting date, Mr. Devaswamy, we sort of discussed it briefly earlier. Why would you need 3 days after the last date of voting to start the counting? And then I think you also said that once the counting is started, everything is finished very fast, right? I mean, there is no scope for checking or matching with various calculations, VVPAT, if there is any mismatch of data and so on and so forth. So what exactly are the logistical factors that might warrant having this June 1 finishing and June 4? Because in other countries, especially in Europe, we've seen counting does happen on the very next day and it's all done in like a matter of 48 hours.
Yes. I'll come to the second part of your question a little later. That's a very important question. First is carrying forward from the paper ballot days. Paper ballot days, there used to be complaint on the voting day of booth capturing and ballot stuffing. So those days, you know, it used to be manual. There's no technology. There's no communication technology. Even bringing into the notice of the Election Commission itself will take its time. Repoll can be ordered only by the Election Commission. So by the time the ballot boxes come back, midnight, passes midnight, by the time the report comes, it's in the morning of the next day. The report goes to the Election Commission saying that these are the cases of booth capturing and ballot stuffing. So they do an quick investigation to find out to what extent it has affected the electoral process. If it is very serious, they order a report. So that takes one day. So the next day, third day, the repoll actually takes place. We can't have the counting. So 2 days are given for obtaining the seriousness of these booth capturing and ballot stuffing and ordering a repoll, conducting a repoll on the third day. On the fourth day, then you do the counting. This is not at all necessary now, because they say under EVM, there is no booth capturing, there is no ballot stuffing. So they are still following the paper ballot system, which actually, as I had written an article last week, is a real voting system. Even under the present law, sorry for sort of taking it slightly away from the question that you asked, even from the present Representatives of the People's Act and conduct of election rules, paper ballot is a primary mode of voting in India. The EVM is a default option. But somehow or other, the Election Commission has developed a great love and affection for EVM and is sticking to the EVM like leeches. They will not listen to any complaint, even from the topmost experts in the world, about the EVM being a black box, but the voter is unable to know whether her vote is cast as intended, recorded as cast, and counted as recorded. It's absolutely blind. So, but they are sticking to it. They are mocking at the people. So coming to your second question, this has been the issue for the last several years, ever since the VVPAT was introduced. The word VVPAT is voter verifiable paper audit trail. Voter verifiable paper audit trail. Four words. Voter comes in. Verifiable by the voter. Paper is the one to verify, cross it, and audit. Now, we have been telling them, listen, and then 2013, actually, rule was amended. You say that it's a paper ballot, the paper, the slip, which is the real vote. We have been telling the Election Commission that's a paper slip that you should count and cross-verify with the electronic counting. The voter must know whether the vote was cast as intended, recorded as cast, and her representative must know whether it was counted as recorded.
Right, Mr. Devaswamy. EVM is a separate discussion. So one last question, sir, before we wrap up. So we know that other democracies such as Indonesia and then most Western European democracies, which are like the gold standard for liberal democracies, as we know, I mean, they managed to hold their elections in one day and announce the results the next day. So do they use EVMs or do they use paper ballots? How do they manage it so fast and efficiently? I think most of them do use paper ballots and they count, rapidly.
All of them use paper ballot. And they have a scientific system now. They do the scanning. In some countries, what they do is the paper ballot is not paper. See, the best system, I'll explain what they are doing in Belgium. And that's what most of the countries are doing. They are really using genuine technology. The voter goes in, swipes the identity card, which is specially made for this purpose, and she gets a paper slip in her hand. And that is put together through a scanner. And she goes home. And that's it. And the scanning is simultaneously done with the voting. Counting is very, 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 very easy. Not this clumsy process of having a EVM, having a VVPAT, and carrying all these in bags, transportation, storing it for 45 days, and then opening them, then attaching it. This is quack technology, half-baked. If they want to do technology, do full technology. That
so
technology
basically,
is
you are
available.
Saying in the first world democracies and liberal democracies that we know of, like Western Europe and the US, Canada, and so on, they use the paper ballot and then they use the scanner to scan the paper ballot to see
Simultaneously.
What is the vote. Is it done in front of the voter while the voter is present? Or
voter herself scans. Voter herself scans.
Okay. And because it's scanned, it gets digitized and then the counting is pretty fast. Is that how it works?
So because the voter, she sees it herself.
Okay.
The candidate is satisfied and scans it and that's it. And simultaneously counting takes place. Only that they have to announce the result.
So has this scanning paper ballot plus scanning been proposed in India? Has it ever been discussed? Tried out anywhere in India?
See, the problem is, this is a very good question. I think you are giving me an opportunity. This is precisely, when Citizens Commission election had the best brain in the world. And we gave this report. This is what we wanted. For the last 3-4 years, we have been seeking an interview with the Election Commission, seeking a discussion with them. They refused to meet us. They refused to acknowledge to us. They are not. They said they have their own technical committee. Hackney, old technical committee. They are not receptive to any new ideas.
Right. Thank you so much, sir. I mean, I think we have covered the multi-phase question that we started with fairly comprehensively. Thank you so much for your observation. Very valid, of course, and a lot of debate, a lot of debatable points here. I think I hope there will be a public national conversation on these issues. Thank you so much once again for joining us.
Thank you very much for this opportunity.
In Focus will be back soon with analysis of the biggest news issues. In the meantime, you can find our podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and other platforms. Just search for In Focus by The Hindu. We'll see you soon.